Welcome to the Gospel Care Podcast. My name is Jason Kovacs, and I'm one of your hosts. Today's podcast, I have a conversation with Kevin Stratton. Kevin is a counselor on the Gospel Care Collective team and is a licensed counselor as well as a trauma specialist. In our conversation today, Kevin and I talk about the definition of trauma, how we understand trauma biblically, and how the church can care for people that are walking through trauma. We also address, how can the church be a healing place, a safe place? What can the church do? What can pastors do? We talk about the role of the body and the soul and the importance of understanding the body and the interplay between the two when it comes to care and healing and doing biblical counseling. So thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoy this episode of the Gospel Care Podcast. Well, man, Kevin, thank you for taking time to have this conversation. It's been one that I've been looking forward to. It's been a joy to have you join our team as part of the Gospel Care Collective. And you've had a really unique journey. You've had a lot of different experiences. You've worn a lot of different hats. I thought it'd be cool to hear a little bit of your story and your journey of how you've gone from being a church planter, student pastor, worship pastor, now to trauma counselor, and all the things you do now. So maybe start off by telling us a little bit of your journey, how God's brought you to this place.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a blessing to, for God just to lead me here to the Gospel Care Collective. So I started off feeling a call to ministry earlier in college and surrendering to that. And God just kind of started opening, you know, little doors at a time, and then ventured into me being in full-time ministry. And I'm 46 now. That was back when I was around 20, 19 or 20. And so stepped into to leading worship, and then stepped into the youth ministry and media ministry, did some graphic design and videography stuff, and then ventured into being a pastor of worship and youth, and then got into church planting and became pastor of worship and media, and helped out with facilities all the way to care and discipleship, and dabbled in community groups, and spent about 18 years in vocational ministry. And then God called me to be in counseling as a ministry. And so I graduated from Midwestern Baptist Theological in 2017. And God called us back to the Southwest Missouri area, to the Ozarks, that that my wife and I loved. And so he opened the doors, and my internship was down there, and I got connected with Victory Mission, which is a men's, and now men's and women's programming, but it's a men's shelter, and I'm the only licensed counselor there, so I'm licensed in my state in Missouri, but I'm also now a certified biblical counselor through ABC, and I'm also a certified clinical trauma specialist through Trauma International. And so it's just kind of where God led me, to my internship and into a men's shelter and working with a lot of trauma, addiction, and post-incarceration transition, and a lot of complex post-trauma and lots of meth use and all that fun stuff. I was very intimidated coming into it, my internship, but I got hooked, and I love it. I've always just been able to like walking through life with people, whether up or down, whatever it is, of just being with them. And so I had no clue this is where it would end or be lead to. So, but here I am being a full-time licensed counselor, and we've stepped out of vocational ministry, but now I'm doing a lot of ministry. Had one guy say, man, you really dove headfirst off in the deep end in the ministry. And it's a daily basis. So deal with suicidology a lot every week. So lots of trauma, lots of just meeting people there and walking with them. And it's been cool. It's been cool to be able to give back and to encourage. And I mean, I meet with some church planters that are struggling, and teenagers that are struggling, and marriages that are struggling. We've done marriage counseling, and but then I also work with the homeless and the and men and women that were incarcerated. So yeah, it's a lot, but it's cool to see where God's led. I've been now at Victory Mission for 5 years, and I'm the counseling director there now, and I supervise students from our local university that are trying to become counselors. And it's cool. It's cool to see where God has led. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, that man, that is quite the diversity of experiences over the years. It's like basically you've done every pastoral role you could imagine in the church.
Yeah.
And then now, but even as a counselor, you're seeing so many different people, different ages, and coming from so many different and diverse backgrounds. What I'm curious, just, I mean, because right now you're seeing the spectrum. What would be something that, you know, as you're seeing a pastor, a church planter, even an adolescent, and then you're also seeing people that are in your treatment center there. Do you see differences? Do you see similarities? And what are some of the things that that you're seeing in those diversity of clients?
And I think the one thing in common, I think about all of those, is that they're wounded people, and it doesn't really matter who they are, but they're wounded and they're image bearers. And so, like I always say, I don't work with felons. I don't work with schizophrenics. I don't do that. I work with people who struggle with those things. You know, I work with people. I work with image bearers that struggle with schizophrenia, or I work with people who have struggled with incarceration, or who have felonies, and just to try to, you know, encourage them. And also my mindset, no one's exempt from making an unwise decision, and you never know what somebody's been through and why they're doing what they're doing. And so that's that kind of commonality. So every situation, every person is unique. And so I do my best to be slow at that and get to know exactly where they're at if I can, so that I can walk with them in it. But it's common across all those ages, and they've been impacted or wounded by something, and there's confusion in there. So usually we're looking at image of God and self, and then probably others also, but those three views, God, self, and others, are probably skewed for some reason. And so we're trying to identify it and then apply truth to it.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. To see the image of God in people, regardless of what their presenting issue is, or, you know, life circumstance. I think an important thing for all of us to consider and think about.
Yeah. I mean, totally controlled by it. You know, it's totally impacting all their life decisions when they think, I'm just a felon and I'll always be this way and I'll never amount to anything. And they have these negative views on themselves, and but then also they're transferring, you know, God's failed me, and he's just up there putting his thumb on me, won't let go, and he's just punishing me. And a lot of times I look at their stories, I'm like, man, no wonder why you think that way. You know, no wonder why you've come to that conclusion. I try to normalize all that, but then go like, what's the God of Scripture say? Who does he say he is, and who does he say you are? Because that's that capital T truth that we want to venture towards, and to really challenge our hearts to go, man, what am I being convinced of?
Yeah.
You know, what am I believing, and why am I believing this? Like, how did I get here? Why am I staying?
Right.
And how in the world do I get out of this? And so I try to divide it in three like that if I can. Yeah. It's really across all those ages. Is there something that's really impacted their view of God, self, and others, and it's not always that obvious.
Yeah. Well, and you have specialized in, as you've mentioned, in trauma. You've got specialized training in working with those who are dealing with trauma. Tell me, what's your definition of trauma? I mean, talk to me a little bit about how you see trauma, and and see it biblically, and then how to approach it with a process of healing with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we usually think of the SAMHSA definition. I mean, I've got it written down here. It's because it's an event or series of events or circumstances that is experienced by an individual, physically, emotionally harmful, or life-threatening, that has lasting adverse effects on their functioning, mental, physical, social, emotional, spiritual well-being. They've even divided into acute, chronic, and complex. It's really just that event or a stream of events or things that have hit them so much that it's shook their body and soul. And, you know, we all respond to that traumatic event differently. You know, somebody could have post-trauma to the event, and I experience the same thing and I don't. That's why it's such a case-by-case basis. There's a quote by Judith Herman in Trauma and Recovery that just continues to stick with me. This is what she says: traumatic events call into question basic human relationships. They breach the attachments of family, friendship, love, and community. They undermine the belief systems that give meaning to human experience. They violate the victim's faith in the natural or divine order and cast the victim into a state of existential crisis. It just kind of reveals the impact of some of that trauma on people and how it can affect people and what it does shake, and that response is normal. The abnormal part was the trauma, not how you're dealing with it. It's okay to not be okay, but we don't want you to stay there. We want you to know, like, God has been with you and he can heal you. And there is hope in the midst of that. But that, man, that Judith quote just keeps getting me, because that's a lot of the people I work with is that quote right there. So yeah. I'm really slow with trauma work. I want to try to just get to know where they're at so I can understand. I seek to understand first. And I just try to empower and go, you know, how do we help give you some resources first before we even look at these events and what they are? Even in the intake process, I just have them give me a title, or we have them do the ACE score and we move on. So I don't want them to revisit it. I want them to have some stabilization and some resources to use. So safety and stabilization is that first thing. And getting them, well, I guess getting to know them first, building that rapport, getting to know their situation, and just being a good listener. And then that safety and stabilization is that first thing that may take a lot longer than you want it to. But the slow process in trauma is actually really normal. So their speed is the right speed. As I'm praying, we're praying through it. I'm praying for them every time I'm meeting with them. It's kind of the process. We do that first before we get into what's going on and how do we process that? How do we look at that?
Yeah, that's so key. I mean, what you're saying, because trauma happens in relationship or in because mm-hmm. of the lack of relationship, the intended relationship that we're created for. Mm-hmm. That's the way I like to think of it. And and how, you know, so the first step in healing being relationship, a healing relationship, mm-hmm. a safe relationship mm-hmm. where they can bring their full self and story and experiences and the sin and the suffering that they've experienced. I think of trauma, I think it, you know, it's sin and it's suffering in an intense way that has, like how you said it, it affects body and soul. Mm-hmm. It's not just body. It's soul. The whole person is affected, mm-hmm. but how that happens because of the impact of sin on breaking relationship, mm-hmm. and recognizing that and recognizing the importance of that for the healing process. So slowing down enough to just mm-hmm. be present and listen and invite people into that space that is safe and where they're seen and heard. Mm-hmm. That sometimes takes time, like you're saying.
Yep.
It
can take multiple sessions pretty easily.
Yeah, I've even found like more than a couple, like, because it's just so slow. Like, you know, the resistance sometimes of that can be present, right? Like the resistance mm-hmm. to to tell my story, which makes sense. Like, it makes sense that, well, if this is the first time you're going to actually tell your story and move towards telling your story, that's a scary thing. And so the very fact that you've signed up for counseling, or you're sitting here with somebody, you know, with the, where there's a potential that you're going to be asked to share, and you're opening yourself up to that, that, man, that is so courageous.
Yeah. Very courageous move to do that. I mean, it just takes your voice. Trauma takes your voice. And so now we're doing our best to empower and encourage and let you have your voice back, and let you have the truth back, because it just hijacks the truth. You know, it's you've been, that trauma has just deceived you, and it is highly impacting everything you're doing. You know, it's clinically significant distress. You know, a lot of the work I do is complex PTSD. So now you're getting into multiple occurrences and multiple kinds all at once. And so it's an even more complex and long drawn out plan, which is fine. But I want to make sure I go in on purpose, that I'm prepared for each session, and that they know what's going to go on for each session, and that way they're not caught off guard. I mean, everything from a trigger plan to what are my triggers to what's the plan if I feel activated or if I feel panicky. Everything from grounding techniques to breathing to safe contact with somebody who's my trusted resource I'm going to call. We write it down to, like, who's the phone number you're going to call? Who's the first one you're going to call? Who are you going to call if that person doesn't answer? I mean, even like the worst case scenario emergency call, you're just going to call 911, or you're going to call the emergency hotline, stuff like that, even to that extent of even accountability with their, sometimes when they're, the guys I work with CPTSD, they are on some kind of medication. So it's working in tandem with their caregiver, with their doctor, and making sure that we know what's going on and where they're supposed to be taking as prescribed, and just some accountability with that as they try to venture through getting through some of these things. Cause it's like it's filed in the wrong part of your brain. So you've got fight or flight really in charge this whole time. So our thinking is taking a back seat. And so we're trying to pray through that. We're trying to apply scripture to that and get it to where it's back to where we've got that decision-making back, and it's that fight or flight's not in control, and it takes time. It just takes a lot of time. I love interweaving scripture through everything, through even breathing techniques. I've seen a lot of counselors start to do that in just the circles that I am involved in. And it's just really cool. It's really cool to be able to breathe in, say scripture, and breathe out and finish that scripture. I think it's been cool to see that truth kind of come in, even in as I'm, it kind of connects body and soul. Like I'm trying to breathe and regulate my body, but I'm also in my soul hearing God's truth, that, like, he's not going to leave me or forsake me. And I think it's cool.
Yeah. That's, well, I love what you said, that trauma does is it takes away your voice and it takes away truth. And so when in the healing of trauma, we're restoring voice and restoring truth. Both of those are really, really critical. I mean, maybe even, you know, as I, just hearing you say that, it's got me thinking, like, the differences between maybe a secular approach to trauma healing and a biblical gospel centered approach is that truth piece, that we're not just bringing truth. We are restoring voice, which I think is absolutely biblical. You know, restoring voice to the voiceless and the vulnerable, and God gives us voice. And there's so much there, but it is also voice plus truth, and helping reframe our memories, helping us to recognize how God sees us, how God's, what God says about himself and the world, and being able to process that and receive that in a safe and loving relationship. You know, and then the connection of the body and soul, you know, that you're talking about there too. God loves bodies. God made us body and soul. We're going to have bodies in glory, resurrected bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. That's part of it too, with them of going, it's not just, counseling that I'm going, let's look at even wellness. Let's look at how are you caring for your body? I mean, you look at Jesus and all the things he talks about the body, and you looked at, you know, how it's in trauma, just impacting the body, and going, man, this is working on soul and heart issues, but also we want you to look at your body and how are you caring for your body? You know, are you getting good sleep? Are you eating what you're supposed to be eating? You know, are you even tired? I mean, I had a guy that was just always tired, and we're like, buddy, you need to go do a sleep study of like, let's get you to where, like, if you're just always tired and you're having sleep issues to where you need a CPAP machine, then that can be provoking a lot of these things to where if you're just always tired, I mean, we've heard the HALT acronym, right? Hungry, angry, lonely, tired, you're more at risk of making an unwise decision no matter who you are. And so, like, let's work on those to go, let's get your body back in a good place.
Yeah.
So that it's not just provoking all those other things. Like, how are you supposed to be dealing with some of these traumatic events when you are always tired? And so you're always irritable and like, man, let's care for the whole person. You're caring for yourself now in counseling, but also let's get you in a wellness program. Let's get you, you know, walking at least 30 minutes a day, or let's get you in some relationships that are trustworthy, you know, which is where that the church body, I'm like, man, the church is where this should all happen. Like I mean, some people have that church hurt, but also like it should be. The church should be that place to where it should be the safe place, and it should be that place to where you're building healthy relationships, and you're walking them out together. But it's, you know, it's body and soul, even with the body, that wellness is becoming a bigger deal, even in the biblical counseling world, of going, man, you need like gut health. Gut health is mental health. You know, we hear that more and more of, you know, are you taking care of yourself well, not just spiritual life, but also like physical and caring. So I think it all is all holistic care is another thing of thinking about that's a big deal.
Yeah. There does seem to be a recovery of that. I don't know if recovery is the right word, because, you know, there's a recognition of the way God has created us, body and soul, that is encouraging, I think, in the biblical counseling movement. There's more conversation around that. My hope is that continues. It's obviously, it's so complex that, like, we have to be careful, but for so long we've really neglected the conversation around the role of the body and sanctification and in the life of and spiritual formation. And I mean, so much, like, I think about, can you name the books about the evangelical books on the body that are popular, or, you know, that you've read? I'll ask people that, and it's hard to name them, because there's not many. Nancy Piercy has a wonderful book, Love Thy Body. Matthew Lee Anderson, his book Earthen Vessels is great. Sam Elbery has a newish book on the body. But, you know, those books, I think, you know, all three of those have been written within the last, you know, 5 years, maybe 10, if that. And so we just don't talk about that enough, but yet God in the Bible is all about the body along as well as the soul, this physical and the spiritual together. You know, that's the whole reality of the Lord's Supper, is the physical and the spiritual together, right?
It's all about that holistic care. And especially, I think it's especially talking about trauma, I think it's important, because you're looking at very slow holistic care, and not just with one counselor, but like with a team and combining with church. And it's just really slow, and it's holistic, and it's a very intriguing subject, complicated subject to think about. And it's, I just continue to learn. It's a case by case basis, and it shows no favoritism. It impacts everybody.
Yeah. What would you say? I mean, what are you seeing in terms of people that you're meeting with, just the church at large, when it comes to this whole topic of trauma? That can, I mean, in some ways today, it's it's become a buzzword, so to speak. But, you know, so there's some concern that, man, we're just listening to culture by, you know, now talking about trauma and being concerned with being trauma informed. You know, that's just culture, reactivity. What have you seen? How have you navigated that? Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I try to stay away from the buzzwords, but like, but trauma is kind of also one of those things where like, what's just, it's also a medical term, trauma. Like it's, when we get into like, when we get into those forms of the word of like traumatized and stuff like that, of or trauma informed, and like, we got to be really careful, I think, when we let something outside the church influence inside the church, when it's not faith based, it's not at all. And so I think it's just caring well for people. We were at one of the church plants I was involved in. We were trying to train all our community group leaders to have some basic training on how to handle situations and what are the steps if that situation happens, to where there's a line of just when it's that traumatic and where you think they need some professional help, to where like this, you know, the church should be counseling the church, period. But sometimes, in my opinion, there's some additional help that needs assistance when it's to a certain level. But I want to know who that counselor is. I want to know, like, are they Christians? Like, what's their method? What's going on? Like, I want to make sure I know who it is. But sometimes it takes somebody who specializes in that, because especially with trauma, our big hearts can do more harm, because we get so excited. We have our big hearts to care for the people like that. And then we rush in too quick and we want them to tell their story. And it's okay, I'm safe, you can tell your story to me, what happened. And like, they're not ready, you're not ready, you're getting secondhand trauma now because of what happened. You know, you're re-traumatizing them. I mean, so many things can happen, but especially in church, like, just have some basic training on how to handle really hard conversations. It's really more about discipleship. And even when discipleship gets a little complex, and what to do when you feel like, what am I going to do? How do I help the situation? You know, when it gets to that level, even when it does deal with trauma, to where, and you just being with them and being their friend and praying with them can be incredible, can be an incredible blessing to them. And you being that trustworthy person that they've not really experienced very much, then you being Jesus to that person can be huge. Yeah. I mean, isn't it First Peter that talks about arm yourself with the same way of thinking about suffering that Jesus did? And so, I mean, we're talking about trauma. I mean, the numero uno trauma is Jesus on the cross. And according to Acts 2, it was impossible to keep him down. So he got up afterwards. And so he knows the full length, width of all that stuff, and yet talks about, you know, arm yourself with the same way of thinking, even suffering. And I think it's more about just coming alongside people and loving people well and not letting it be so complicated. If they need some additional help with that individual situation, like trauma, and you don't feel like it's something you can handle, then like, then you be their friend and you love them well and share Christ with them. And if they need that additional help, they can do that to a trusted Christian counselor. But it's hard when you get some of these buzzwords and you get the whole, you know, how does psychology fit into this? What's going on? When do we refer? When do we not? I think when trauma gets to a point to where my intentions are great, and I mean, even be like, these are godly intentions here, but I'm just not skilled on how to handle a situation. Sometimes if I rush in too quick, then I can re-traumatize.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do that, but I also want to disciple them well and love them well. I mean, that's what Jesus did, right? He met them where they were at. When he knew they were traumatized, he saw it, and he met them where they're at, and he saw them for who they were, and came in and was just there. You know, I think it's, sure, you could say trauma or traumatized, but I think it's like, it's just learning to do life with people, and it's people, so it's going to be messy. And if you feel like you need some extra help, then you can, you know, talk to your pastor and let them, you know, help you help them in those situations that seem like it's a little too intense or uncomfortable, to an extent, because I mean, part of it's going to be uncomfortable because it's messy, but
Yeah.
But yeah, I think some basic training would help. I mean, even the pastors, the church planters and pastors I've talked to, they're dealing with trauma because now they're talking to me because they've had to address this situation that was a really intense, dangerous situation, or had to hear about how this person just went through this a few years ago, and it was, I mean, it was life-threatening, and just the intensity of it has now drained them, and now they're meeting with me. So I would technically look and go, you're kind of secondhand trauma here, like, you know, secondhand smoke, you're secondhand trauma. There's, you've got to care for yourself as you're trying to care for them, especially when you're going to hear some really rough things. And it's in churches. It's the churches doing it, and pastors going, man, it's wearing me out. And so now you're going to get into something that they call compassion fatigue, and being cautious of that, you know, how do I love God and serve others well, but when I get into some of the messiness of that, not have compassion fatigue. So
That's so helpful. I mean, you mentioned in that the being cautious or the potential danger of having somebody tell their story and re-traumatizing them. Can you just clarify that? Like, when should someone be concerned about that? What's your encouragement, in terms of, asking somebody and sincerely, sometimes with great intentions, to tell you their story, but with the fear of not and the desire to not re-traumatize or somebody.
We don't want them to, you don't want to just come in and go right out of the chute, okay, well, tell me exactly what happened, you know. Or even when someone's grieving, of coming in and just immediately throwing all the scripture out. It's like you're coming in trying to fix immediately. I think those situations can do more harm than you want them to. And so you need to look at it and go, what, I don't want them to relive the event. I want to minister to them. So I want to be able to meet with them for, I want to just be there, be a presence for them. You may sit with them and they tell you what happened, and sure, if they feel like they want to talk, then it's their choice on what they're saying or sharing, then great. But
It's giving them
for
that
you,
voice, giving them
yeah, give
back
them that
that voice.
voice. If they want to share, then all by all means, you know, like you're gonna, you know, listen as best as you can and pray for them. And then when they're ready to that point, then you can walk through scriptures with them. And like even with trauma, I mean, we can look at crucifixion, we can. You can look at, I mean, Tamar, Old Testament. You can look at many different situations. I mean, even like Lamentations. I mean, Job, Lamentations talks about, you know, his mercies are new, but the backdrop is a city in ruins. And so, you know, you're looking through all these different stories and then walking through them. But I would just caution people right out of the gate just to come in and go, well, just tell me all the details so I can know. And like, I don't want them to relive their story. I want to be able to sit with them and then empower them and walk in discipleship with them. Like I'm working with a few couples to where they're in discipleship with their home church, but then he's seeing the husband is seeing me for a specific issue, for a specific thing that we're working through. And so I think that's kind of what needs to happen when it's to a level to where I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. Like he needs or she needs some more help here, and that's where I'm referring to my pastor and going, what do we do? But then also it's just that basic discipleship, you know, I'm just that ministry of presence and being there with them, and you know, how can I love you today? How can I pray for you? Or even noticing, like when I had somebody the other day go, like, I know they'd had a rough time, and so I'm just gonna tell them, hey, I'm coming over, I'm mowing your yard because it's high, and I know that's something you guys don't want to do right now. You know, because they'd been through something that was really difficult, and they just said, "Hey, just let you know, you're gonna hear the mower. Is it okay if I mow today? Sure, well, I'm gonna come mow your yard. Anything else you need done? We're gonna watch some funny movies. Can you just come sit with us? There you go, perfect. You know, we're not going back through their story. Or if they want to share, they can. And I can pray for them. But I mean, even Proverbs says that, you know, a quick answer is foolish." I think it's Proverbs 18 that talks about that. Looking through and going, man, I just want to be a good listener and meet them where they're at and just be that Christ-like presence and let them share when they're ready. I don't want to just jump in and try to do things so quick that I'm trying to fix things, and it can do more harm than good. Although my heart can be, have great intentions, but jumping in so quick like that can be really hard.
Yeah, love what you're saying in terms of the, it's not a either or, you know, if it's trauma, then it has to be a professional counselor, and the church now has to just kind of delegate outside to someone who's an expert. But maybe it can be a both and that ideally people are getting the help, the expert specialized care they need when they need that, but not divorced or separated from the support and the love of the community. That is so critical. So, you know, the best case scenarios, the church is being the church and loving the person, supporting the person, walking this person through a process of healing and maybe partnering with a counselor, partnering with a professional. That's why my greatest joy is what we do in Gospel Care Collective is not replacing what the church is doing or even being a place to outsource care, but to come alongside the church and supplement the care that hopefully is happening in the church and to partner with the church, partner with pastors, partner with individuals, small groups, you know, as they walk with people through the inevitable big T traumas, small D traumas, suffering and the brokenness of this world because of sin. And then where churches maybe are not equipped to do that, to help them, to equip them, to provide training. And I think that there's a lot of hope for the church as I love too, you know, I agree, you know, at the heart of it, it's discipleship. It's like, it's not something different than that. It's like make disciples, which is bring people into relationship with Jesus and restore that relationship. See, you know, and there's a mystery how we can't do, I mean, it's the Spirit that does that through us and work of God, but it's this work of restoration, a work of bringing what has been broken because of sin and suffering back to wholeness. And that's holistic. It's body, soul, and that we're moving towards the day when we will be restored and made whole in every part of us. And so I look at trauma in that through that lens, that biblical lens of wholeness and restoration, and it will never be perfect this side of glory. We do what we can, and you call it discipleship, holistic discipleship, being like Jesus, caring like Jesus. I think you said earlier.
Yeah. And that trauma, I mean, you bring that up, that trauma has an expiration date. Our God does not. Our God does not.
Yeah.
That pain and everything else, it has an expiration date. It is limited. And our God is not limited. And so I think that's part of it. Like, I teach lament a lot with the people I work with, of just being able to, it's TCAT, turn, complain, ask, trust. And I'm trusting, even though my feelings are not there. So I'm choosing to trust and letting my feelings get caught up later. There's that one. And then also I heard, I saw that Jared Wilson had posted something, said it's not behave first, it's behold. And then the behave comes afterwards. But we always want to behave so that we can behold who God is, when they're like, no, that first step is behold who God is and what he's done for us. That's what changes us. And that's what causes that behavior to change and the worship to change. And that's kind of my goal with the people I meet with, is that they would behold who God is, not who they think God is in their head, but who the Bible says God is. And they'd also recognize who the Bible says that they are. You know, if you are in Christ, you're a new creation. You are blameless. You are beloved. You know, far as he has cast your sin as far as the east is from the west, he remembers it no more. You know, like, they would become to believe and be convinced of those things. But there's also those things in their life that I see that has just, you know, shook up the truth in their life and questioned that. And so now, a lot of what I do is narrative kind of therapy, to where we look back, even with the church planters that I work with, we go back further and go, there's this belief that is in you. What is it? And then where did it start? How far does that go back? And then maybe we can go, no wonder why you believe that. But what does God's truth say? Am I really believing that? So it's almost confessional, you know, even the traumatic stuff. I have to admit that when mom died of cancer, I believed God failed me. I have to confess that and go, yeah, I've planted multiple churches and been in ministry for a long time. But when my mom died of cancer, now I'm questioning, does God really love me? Or I'm questioning going like, God failed me. I mean, it gets shook. But that's that whole lament, is being able to go, I mean, look at Psalms. Well, God, where did you go?
Yeah.
You know, because would you please come back? Would you show your face? Because I know you're good. I just don't feel it, but I know you're good. And I know you've never left me. I just don't feel it, but I know it. And so that's that a lot of the trauma work I do is try to slowly get there. And but it's a case by case basis, but that's what I love what Gospel Care Collective does, is how we partner with the church and how we try to equip. And we're not just that out. We don't want to be that we're referral. We don't want to be the replacement. We need to be like, no, the church is better equipped than they think they are, you know? They can get intimidated by some of the level of hurt, but they're better equipped than they think they are. Yeah. And they can be more of a help than they think they are, because that's how, you know, God designed the body to be, the church to be. And so I love that about Gospel Care, that we can be that help and that structure and even the training to go, hey, you can do this. You can be more of that. You don't have to just get intimidated or go, oh, this is too much, outsource. Like, a lot of that can be in there. Because I think sometimes when it gets so intense, it really turns out to be a medical issue. Like, when you're dealing with severe mental illness and things like that, then those outsource things is really a medical issue, which I want the medical people to deal with the medical things. I'm not a medical person. I'm not going to do well on that. I'm going to really mess that up because I don't have that training. But a lot of the church, I think, can do that. And that's why I love what Gospel Care does. It's a part of it.
Yeah. That's an interesting thing that you to think about. And I've been thinking about that recently, in terms of like the things that are medical versus the things that are spiritual. It's like the church says, and we believed for a long time, like, we'll handle the spiritual stuff. And you know, if it's medical or physiological, that's what your doctor does. And it's like, we have these two categories that just seem like they're neat and tidy categories. If we just, you stay in your lane, I'll stay in my lane, and we can mutually respect one another. But you know, like, I've had some medical doctors that I've worked with over the years that have referred clients to me, and conversations with those guys, like, there are situations that it is clearly medical, it's physiological. And then there's clearly situations that it's a spiritual, emotional issue. But then what do you do with those issues in life that are a combination of both, where it's not really clear, is this physiological, is this emotional, spiritual, like, what is it? And the more I've talked with doctors, the more I've talked with pastors that haven't been pastoring a long time, it's like they're both wrestling with the same thing. Like, there's a complexity and an interplay between the body and the soul that is real. And I find sometimes people feel like their pastor says, well, hey, go see your doctor for this issue. And then they go see their doctor, and their doctor's like, well, man, I think this is an emotional issue. I think this is, you know, and sometimes they're really saying this is trauma. They may not use that term. And so that's, I think, an interesting place where, again, as you talk about, like, kind of the growth in the biblical counseling movement, in terms of learning and developing categories for body, soul, my hope is that we can better serve people, not replacing and becoming the medical professionals, and not becoming, you know, replacing pastors, but being able to serve in that space where we can help navigate the complexity of that body, soul, you know, working together as a team with doctors where needed, pastors and counselors, being the community, being the church in that way. Yeah, because it's not always clear. It's not black and white. I wish it was, right? I wish it was like, yeah. Okay, I know exactly what this issue is and who you need to see to help you.
Yep.
It's usually like, oh man, there's a complexity, and then sometimes there's just a mystery to it. Like we may never have an answer for why.
Yeah, I mean, you can get into stuff like somatic pain and chronic pain that just doesn't seem to end, and doctors don't know what's going on. And well, then, well, where does God fit into that? And so that's why I think it's just a unique situation of what's going on. But you want to do best you can to get the best picture you can before we start solving. We have to seek to understand first. And we want to make sure that, like, okay, we know it's not this, it's not that. But we're going to continue to do discipleship regardless, and meet them where they're at. And then, because you can do it. Like, I had palpitations and was thinking I was having heart issues. And so that was in the midst of church planting. And so we were thinking, what's going on? I didn't know what these were. They just started. Am I okay? Now I'm having panic attacks. And I went to the doctor. I went to the cardiologist, and they did all the tests, and everything was clear. Even the EKG showed my heartbeat was being off. And he said, what do you want me to tell you? Lower your stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's the stage fright medicine, which is a tiny little pill. And he said, you can take it if you need to. Just take it as needed. And I learned that just having it in my bag helped me. Never took any of it. But because it was in my bag, it helped me. So it shows you, like, okay, this isn't medical. Everything turned out to be, everything was fine. But it was a mental and faith-based issue, of fear and worry and stress, and all these things that had led up to it. And I wasn't caring for myself. And so, it's just good to get the biggest picture. So we're continuing with discipleship, but also, is this something that you need to talk to your medical doctor about? You know, tell them, you know, do your test. And okay, it was all clear. He's saying, you know, maybe this is stress induced. All right, well then you're in discipleship with your church, and you're walking this and taking care of yourself and seeing where God leads, and you're praying for healing. You know, God heals people. I've seen that in our men's shelter. I mean, I've got guys where I say, buddy, you need a different name because you're a different person. Mm-hmm. You came into our program a year ago, and now a year later, different desires, different, you know, passions, different responses of like, man, God has dramatically healed you while you've been here, and you've been, you know, off drugs and alcohol now for a year and 2 days because you did it 2 days before you came into the program. But like, there's different people, and you can see like they met the Lord, they got saved, they got baptized in one of the local churches, and they started serving church and getting in here. Like God healed them. We prayed for them the whole time and God healed them. So by all means, God can heal all that stuff. But it's just, you got to continue. You got to cover all your bounds sometimes. You got to look at everything and go,
yeah,
I need to seek to understand first before I solve. And I need to be a good listener and try to do the best I can with what's going on. Because it's just not a one-size-fits-all. So, and I mean, God works through all that. And so Spirit moves and says, you know, hey, you should try this, you know, or try that, or, you know, as you're praying through and being discipled by your church, I think you can be, you know, led by the Spirit, not the flesh. Then there's lots of things that can come in, and you always want to do your best to, you know, make sure that we see everybody. Like if it is a medical thing, then let's go make sure. Like my palpitations and my panic, like, is this something going on? Because I could feel my heart being off. So, and it was off. The test showed it, but everything else was completely clear and all the levels were fine. And we were able to cross that off and go, okay, now we can try to solve the issue. But it ended up being more of a heart issue. You know, I'm dealing with my heart, and otherwise it's just symptom care. And so,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I always tell people. Do your best to be slow, and you got to see the whole picture. Because if you only see half the picture, and you say, okay, here's what we're going to do, then when you get the whole picture, you may see, oh, whoops, I was wrong. So especially in trauma care, being slow and making sure you know the best picture you can get, and then you can know, okay, and you're being led by the Spirit of God, help me, give me the words to speak, or give me the mouth to be quiet, you know, or whatever that is.
Oh, that's
But it's complicated, but it's not complicated for the Lord. You know, like God's not confused. God is in control. He's not caught off guard by these things. So I'm just continuing to trust in him as he's allowed me to walk with people. But it's a big honor. It's a big honor to be able to do that with people. That they would let me walk with them in these things is just really encouraging, and that they would let me do that. So praise the Lord.
I feel the same way. It's like, man, what a privilege. What a privilege to enter into these spaces with people and see the Lord work and explore things that are so difficult and maybe feel impossible to overcome or even face, but with help and with community, recognize we're not alone, and with the time and the space and the patience, there begins to hope begins to stir up, or hope begins to arise. That's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And
There's always hope.
yeah, amen,
It
brother.
may not feel like it, but there's hope.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you so much for taking this time and sharing. We'll have more conversations to come,
Yeah.
Lord willing.
Absolutely, man.
Thank you for joining us in this episode of the Gospel Care Podcast. I know this was a hard topic, and we talked about a lot of different things when it comes to hurt and trauma and pain. And if you need help, if you're looking for counseling, or if you know somebody that is looking for counseling that is trauma-informed, please reach out to us. We'd love to help you. We'd love to serve you. You can reach out at gospelcarecollective.com. Again, that's gospelcarecollective.com. You'll find information on our counseling services, as well as what we offer for training. Our passion is to train the church and help the church to become trauma-informed, to help the church step in and care for people. Our role as counselors is to come alongside the church. And if that would be of help to you, please visit our website, reach out to us. Again, we would love to serve you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast episode.